Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Patriot Support, part of the Believe Network, joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hogan. I'm Christopher Price, the Boston Globe. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast and tell all of your friends who are Patriots fans to do the same. You can also watch us on Believe TV around the country, in airports, and on YouTube. Also, make sure to check out my Patriots coverage in the Boston Globe. This episode of the Patriots Report is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Today on the Patriots Report, Chris and I discuss the final stages of the pre-draft process, the start of New England's offseason program, and Chris's memories of former teammate Logan Ryan, who retired this past week. Plus, we answer some listener questions. That's all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, let's start here. We have reached basically the final phase of the pre-draft process, the on-campus visits, the meetings. Guys are coming to Foxborough. We heard stories this week. Jaden Daniels was here. Drake May has been in town. I'm curious from your perspective, and not just when you're talking about quarterbacks, but any position, if you're sitting in those meetings, if you're Gerard Mayo, if you're Elliott Wolf, what are you asking these guys? What do you want to know? What else can we find out about these guys before draft night?
I mean, I think from the head coach's perspective, I think Gerard, I think Elliott, I think you're trying to connect with these guys, with these kids, right? With their kids. They're 22 years old, coming out straight out of college, and these guys are already making millions of dollars. The game has changed a little bit in that respect, where, you know, these kids have become, they have to be more responsible with the, you know, they're getting their own sponsorships. They're getting all this money. They're getting paid in college. So, like, you know, you're dealing with, you know, these kids that are now learning how to run their own business and build their own brands, as opposed to, like, you know, years ago, even when, you know, when I was in the league, right? Like, when you first get in the league, it's like, okay, how do I build my brand now? Right. And so you're dealing with that a little bit. So I got to imagine this is more of, okay, let's find out, like, what type of person are you? Like, what do you care about? Right. Like, what's the biggest, what do you want to accomplish in your career or in your life? Right. Like, I think that's can be a very cool thing to try to connect with these guys that are, you're potentially going to make a very large investment in. And then I think there's also probably a time of, like, let's really break down film. Like, let's see what your real football knowledge is. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I don't think you can really accomplish that through, you know, the I don't know how long you have at the combine, but I can't imagine that you're able to really turn on a film and sit there and break down film for a couple of hours, right? So I think I'm sure Van Pelt probably is in the has a part in these meetings where, you know, they really are breaking down film. They're watching this stuff and they're going to kind of go over his process, right? His system, you know, like, what do you see here? Can you break down coverages? Can you see coverages? Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that's important, especially, you know, they've seen all the college film. They know what they went against. They know what coverages that they went against. They've done their due diligence on this kid. Can he see it in real time? Can he see it on film? Can he break down an NFL coverage and just right off the bat kind of do it without being coached on it? Can he call protections? Can he see that? Can he point out a mic? Right? Can he see man versus zone cover? You know, so I think obviously we're talking about quarterbacks, right? And you know, for other positions, I think there's also an element of being like, what's your football knowledge, right? And can I coach you? Are you coachable? Can you learn on the fly? Are you able to kind of how quickly can you process information? Can I teach you one thing and then can, you know, 10 minutes later, can I go back to the same thing and can you draw up that play that we just went over, right? So I think there's a little bit of that. I think Jerod and Elliot are really trying to appeal to the person. They're trying to figure out, is this guy going to be a good fit into the locker room? Is he going to be a good fit in Boston? Is he, you know, into the organization? And, you know, is he willing? Does he want it? Right? Is there a want to? Or is this kid just like, hey, you're going to draft me and pay me, you know, this amount of money and, you know, I'm going to try to win football games for you? Like, that's I don't really want that type of kid in my life. Like, I want a kid that wants it, right? And wants to be involved and wants to be involved with the organization and Boston and is excited about it. And I think that these pre-draft visits, I think they're going to try to knock all of that out in however many hours that they have with this kid.
Fascinated by these because, and we talked about intangibles last week, specific to Jaden Daniels, and look, a lot of it is going to be on this kid's shoulders moving forward. He's going to be the face of the franchise. I was around here in 93 when Drew Bledsoe came in. I mean, and he was the guy who was on the season ticket brochures. You know, he goes from being a college student, albeit, you know, he was the star of the football team, number one draft pick and everything. But I just think that there is so much more that goes into it. The baggage that comes along with this gig, with being the third overall pick, if they end up, you know, taking a quarterback at number three, is it Drake May, is it Jaden Daniels, whoever it's going to be, he's going to be the face of the franchise. You know, for years it was Tom, for, you know, last couple of years, maybe it was Mac or whoever the case may be, he's going to be the face of the franchise. Can he handle everything that goes with that? We know that these guys would not be lousy. We know they're not going to be lousy football players. No. They've reached this stage, but can they handle everything that comes with the job? The guy who was just here turns out he couldn't handle all the aspects of the job. Yeah. And so I just want to know if this kid has the makeup, the character, again, the intangibles that's needed to be able to step into a situation like this.
Yeah. I mean, they all have the tangibles, right? So I think that's like, to my point, I think that's kind of what they're after, right? Like this, we're asking you, yes, we're going to draft you and we're going to ask you basic, you're playing quarterback, right? This is going to be your job, but can you be this guy? Can you lead a team your first year, you know, in the NFL, right? Can you be a guy that the entire organization can rely on to do different things, right? And I think that's part of the conversation, right? And as a player and as someone that wants to be drafted, I think that you're going to get a lot of course I can, right? So I think that's a hard thing to understand right away. I think, unless the kid's just kind of like, no, I can't do it, right? Which I don't think you're going to get that answer from these kids. Is you're going to have to, it's you're taking a chance, right? Mm-hmm. And that's part of the draft, right? You're taking a chance in drafting all of these young players and really not knowing whether or not they're going to work in the NFL. So you're going to put a lot of, you know, emphasis in into these draft visits, and you're going to really try to dive into the player. And that probably there's a tons of questions that they're going to ask them and try to, you know, figure out, you know, who they really are to their core. And then, you know, on draft night, and you're picking this guy, it's really like hoping and praying, right, that they are who they say they are, and that they kind of turn out to be the player and the teammate and you know, the guy in the organization that you really hope that he can become. So, you know, it's one of those situations where we can ask all these questions we want and get all the answers we want, but we're really not going to know until draft night, and then till they get into the building officially. And then we kind of, and then we see how the story unfolds after that.
One of the flip sides to the entire process was something that I was told, I don't know, a handful of years ago by someone in the previous regime, that these on-site visits also work in another direction. And that's to say that you have intel on a guy that you're going to be facing down the road. You know, the fact that Nick and Bill and others would bring guys in who maybe they didn't necessarily believe they were going to draft, but hey, let's kick the tires on this guy. Let's find out what makes him tick. Let's find out what makes him uncomfortable. What he doesn't like, what he doesn't like dealing with, and kind of file that away and put that in the back of our minds when we face him in November or next year or the year after that, that, you know, we have this little piece of scouting information that we picked up when he came in here. So I think it's an intriguing thing. Yeah. And I part of it's smokescreen because I remember the year they brought, you know, Tim Tebow in. It just in it, that was a circus. So I think you kind of take it all with a grain of salt, but I think at the same time, I think it offers a lot of intrigue, a lot of layers of intrigue here when you talk about these pre-draft visits.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Bill and Nick are probably one of the few that are probably have their own files on guys that they're definitely not going to draft, but hey, we're going to play him in 2 or 3 years. Like, let me make sure I have this file. I'm sure other teams do it, but I could see Bill and Nick really conspiring with each other to like, hey, like, let's really know what makes this guy tick so that we can use it against him in a couple of years when we got to face him.
We're going to circle back around to draft stuff down the road because we got some questions this morning on social media that a lot of them deal with the draft. And so I want to get to those in a little bit, but I also, I'm curious to get your take on this. The off-season workout program started on Monday. Yeah.
We're back. Football's all back.
All in. Everyone's back. Everyone's back in the building, or at least most of the people, from what I understand, are back in the building. We're recording this on Wednesday. The offseason workout program started on Monday. Guys are back in the building. And I want to get your take as a former player, as a guy who's gone through this process before. What is it like when there is a head coaching change specific to this part of the offseason? Is there a level of anxiety when you come back into the building as a veteran? Is there a level, you know, are you worried that the new coach, and in this case, you know, more often than not, you're going to know the guy. These guys are going to know Mayo. But what's it like at this time of year for a veteran when the organization is hitting the reset button?
I think it's excitement. I think it's overall it's excitement because listen, not one player on that team was happy with what happened last year, right? So I think all of these guys want to hit the reset button. And, you know, Gerard is going to bring the excitement. I'm sure his first team meeting was full of energy. I'm sure the guys that are coming back into the locker room, they're just like, hey, like, this is going to be a new team. You know, this, it looks a lot different. The team meeting room is going to be a lot different. You know, without Bill there, I mean, it's tough for me to even picture someone else standing in front of that room, you know, and talking to a team. And so, you know, I think the guys are genuinely going to be excited. Are the veterans going to be pissed that, you know, their offseason was cut a little bit short? Maybe, but, you know, also a lot of these guys were playing till January, right? And they are at end of January and they were in the playoffs. So they had a few extra weeks off with the family. So I think everyone coming back into the locker room, on Monday when they started, I got to imagine that it's overall excitement. Yeah, there's some of them are going to be anxious, right? There's a lot of unknowns. We don't really know the system, or there's going to be a new playbook. And, you know, so there's a lot of new things, right? But I think with all the new stuff, it's excitement, right? It's a new thing. You know, things that are new sometimes bring excitement, right? And I think the guys are genuinely going to try to erase what happened last year. And I think that Jerod is really bringing this new energy, right? This is my team. We're going to do things maybe a little bit differently. And he's going to create that excitement himself into the players, right? And that's just going to continue to carry on, right? There's almost not even time to be anxious or anything like that, right? Because there's just going to be so much new stuff. Defensively, maybe not, right? It's kind of, let's turn the page and we're going to be doing exactly what we've been doing for however many years. We did have a good season last year, right? It's like the young kids, right? All right, we got to keep going, right? We have to keep going this way. We can't take any dips. Like Christian, we got to, you know, keep evolving, keep obviously health is obviously the most important thing. So making sure that these guys are doing all the right stuff offensively. Like, I mean, these kids are getting a brand new playbook, yeah. Right? So I remember what that feels like. And for me, that was an exciting time because, you know, it was something new that I could dive into. It was something I could really invest into. There wasn't really time for me to be doing anything else other than like, okay, cool. I have this new playbook that I'm going to learn from back, you know, from front to back and back to front. And to me, if I was these younger kids, if I was a veteran, if I was a guy that, you know, people count on me in my room, that's what I'm doing. Right. And I am investing the time to meet with Van Pelt, any of the new coaches that they brought on staff. I'm investing that time to, you know, create that relationship with them so that, you know, when we go into August, when we go into training camp, it's not like we're like now all of a sudden trying to like vibe together, right? So like this is the time to do that. You have so much time. You know, you're only in there from, I think it's like 4 hours a day, right? Or something like that. And that time, it flies, right? Because most you're spending probably 2 hours on the field, you know, or with, you know, the strength coach, and then whether you're doing treatment, and then you have like an hour of meeting time. So it's not a lot of time. So in your own personal time, it's about like, hey, like let me meet with Van Pelt. Like, let me just, I don't know, we sit down and watch film or just chop it up with him, right? And just kind of get on the same page as them, figure out. As much as the coaches are trying to figure out who these kids are, these veterans, dude, I'm going to meet with them, man. Like I want to know what type of guy he is too. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like when we get into August and all of a sudden he's chewing me out for not getting a read right or running the wrong route. Like at least we've had this conversation before where it's not, you're not just chewing me out because you don't, this is the first time we've had a conversation, but like, all right, cool. Now, like, I can go back to him and be like, all right, cool. I got you. Like, mm-hmm. I got you. Or I hate I got you, actually. That's, like, the worst. That's my biggest pet peeve. But it's like, I'm going to do better, right? You know, we've had this conversation. I know how to do these things. There's a learning curve, right? There's going to be mistakes made. But at least this is not the first time that we're doing it. So I think it's kind of goes both ways, man. I mean, I think these coaches mm-hmm. need to be spending as much time with the players as the players need to be with the coaches. So I think the guys are excited to be back in the building. I think there's definitely, I would love to be a fly on the wall for the energy that's and how everyone's reacting to being back. But I think overall, I think guys are going to be excited.
Do you remember the first team meeting when Rex Ryan walked into the room in Buffalo after he took over as head coach when it came to the offseason workout program?
Yeah. The same old bullshit, like, hey, let's put up a picture of the Lombardi trophy. And it's like every other team that I've been on, like, this is the goal. Like, yeah, of course it's the goal, man. Like, we know that this is what we're here for. But Rex was cool, man. And to Rex's credit, we had one of the best years we had with him and one of the best defenses that Buffalo's had in a long time. But you know, he was funny, man. I mean, it was like, he had this energy about him where it was like, dude, like, I don't care about what anyone else thinks of me. I'm going to coach you the way that I'm going to coach you. He was very player friendly. You know, he was a player's coach, but also like he would cuss you out if he needed to. So there's, you know, there's also this feeling for the players where you want these guys to like you, right? So you're going to try to do everything you can, you know, obviously if you're that type of player, if you don't care, like then whatever, you're just going to go about your business. But for me, it was, you know, even from starting in, you know, we're in what, April, right? So starting in April, you know, I was doing everything I needed to and meeting with all the coaches and doing all the stuff that like I needed to, because like at the end of the day, like I knew that they were trying to get my ass out, right? Because I was always, you know, that, you know, I mean, I worked my way up in Buffalo, but, you know, even when Rex came on, like Rex didn't know who I was, right? I was just, you know, the white kid that tried hard, right? And I knew that going into it, right? So like I came back into April, like, dude, I was in the best shape of my life. And I knew that because the second the season ended, I was right back to training. So that the first run test, when I'm blowing everybody out of the water, he came up to me and be like, dude, what have you been doing? And be like, well, I'm trying to make this damn team, bro. Like, you'll find out here when we put pads on too. Like, I mean business. So like you're the first impression is a real thing, right? Gerard's been around. He knows these guys. So it's a little different. But for Van Pelt, like this is the first time he's ever been around these guys offensively. So your first impression is going to go a long way. If you're a guy that's just kind of walking through workouts or just kind of going through your stuff, you're not taking notes in the meeting rooms, which like would be a huge no-no to me. Like, dude, this is all new stuff that you're trying to, you know, digest. Like, be that guy. Be the guy that asks questions. Be the guy that's always there taking notes. Be the guy that you show that you want to be there. So I think that's all part of this, you know, this first phase, right? This is a get to know each other phase. And then, because soon we're going to be doing football, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, now we really get to know each other, right?
The honeymoon.
And it's going to be, first phase one is honeymoon, right? Yeah. We're all going to be nice to each other. We're all going to try to do the right thing and say the right thing. But all of a sudden, then all the competition period starts. And now you have a coach cussing you out and because you don't know what the hell you're doing or vice versa. Like the honeymoon phase is over pretty quickly. And now it's like, okay, we got to get to work. But at least in the honeymoon era, phase one, we kind of figure out what type of player, what type of coach, like how invested are we into on both sides of this thing. So this is an important time period for this new team, right? New coaches, new players, especially guys that are coming in, you know, that were free agents that we picked up, or even the young kids, man, they still have they got a lot of work to do to get to, you know, like a guy like Pop Douglas, right? End of the year, great. You know, had tremendous upside to, you know, like, hey, this kid could be very good and yada, yada, yada. But like, dude, you got to work your ass off to keep making sure that that doesn't go away.
You right? got to keep cresting. You got to keep heading in the right direction.
Always. So it's important for the veterans to come in and make sure that they kind of go about their thing. Everyone, the veterans, you have like, you know, you have this profile, right? I'm sure Van Pelt's got a whole book of the like, hey, this guy's like this. And he got the scouting report on everybody. For the young kids, he's got this, you know, maybe one pager, right? Of this is this guy, right? This is what he did last year. This is like his upsides, what he's not good at, this is what he's good at. But hey, like as a player, I know that. So I'm also going to try to make sure that I'm making the right impression for the entire organization, right? Because at the end of the day, you're always being evaluated.
One of your guys called it a career this week. I think it was on Monday. Logan Ryan, a teammate of yours in New England, a tri-state area guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Rutgers guy. Yeah, you know, Rutgers, I know he's not a Monmouth guy, but he's a Rutgers guy. I always found him to be the very definition of a pro's pro. Yeah. You guys had a really good locker room about a decade or so ago. Oof. And it was full of guys who would just take care of their business, who knew what it took to not only survive in the NFL, but to thrive. And Logan was one of those guys. He was always accountable. He was always accountable with us, which went a long way with the media. But tell me a little bit about what it was like being his teammate.
Logan, well, first of all, we battled against each other for 2 years that I was there with him, which I thoroughly enjoyed because he just would go as hard as I went every single time that we lined up against each other. The thing that I loved most about Logan is that I could talk football with him, right? And the there are some guys that's like, hey, if I ran a route and it didn't really quite work, it's like more of them just kind of talking shit to me. And it's like, hey, like, don't try that here. But with Logan, dude, he would tell you what you did wrong. Or he would tell you this, or if like, if I smoked him, or if I beat him off the line, or I beat him in a route, like he'd tell you. And like, that was like, for me, that was, I couldn't put a value on that sort of input and that advice that he was giving to other players. And he was a guy that you could, he was super approachable. You could talk to him about anything. And he was obviously, he was a teammate, man, that like he goes down. You know, I mean, gosh, I mean, every single kid on that team could go down in record books as like all time teammates. But like Logan was one of those guys that you really, I could vibe with on the other side of the ball just because we were there to help each other. Right. And if there was things that he needed to work on or things that I needed to work on, he was a guy that I had no problem going up and asking, right? Because A, he was willing to put in the extra work, right? And B, it was just like, hey, like we're here to help each other, right? At the end of the day, yeah, we want to compete our asses off in training camp. But like when it came down to the season, you know, we were it was all about winning, man. And he was an awesome player. I mean, he was a phenomenal player. And he had an awesome career. And I mean, I have nothing but awesome thing and great things to say about him as a teammate, as a player, as a friend. You know, happy for him. I'm happy that he got a chance to, you know, go try to win another Super Bowl. Got, you know, I was reading all about his, you know, he was on like a vacation with his family when he got the call. So it's like, you know, I'm happy that he got that opportunity to, you know, come back and play because he was an awesome role player, right? I mean, he's like whatever role you needed him to be in, whatever position, however you needed things to be done, like he did it and he did it well. And
I remember him in games in Denver, games against the Broncos, just absolutely locking down Demaryius Thomas on multiple occasions. In just that group of guys, that group of Rutgers guys, the McCourties, Harmon,
something special about those guys,
I guess. Logan Ryan, man, those guys were just, again, you know, you use the phrase a pro's pro.
Yep.
Those guys were just absolutely nails. Obviously Devin is, you know, at another level, but the rest of them, just like you said, Logan, a great complimentary player, Jason, a great complimentary player, Durant, it was a really good group.
Yeah. You know what? The other thing I remember about Logan was he studied. He studied football. He loved football. And he knew how to play in every single game that he went into because the way that he prepared, like to your point, right? Like he'd go out to Denver and lock down Demaryius because he knew how to do it. Right. And that's only, it wasn't because he had all this God-given ability, but no, it was because he watched countless hours of film and cut-ups of like how to play these guys. And he would do it, dude. Like, he would piss me off because like eventually he knew how to play me. He knew how to play Jules. He knew how to play Brandon Cooks or Danny. Like, dude, he studied. He knew our moves. Like he knew how to do these things. I mean, he was also an ass to go against at practice because he knew all of our calls. Mm-hmm. So like you'd have to be like super secretive. Like if we were doing like competitive periods, cause like he'd be looking in at Tom, like seeing if they're, he'd be giving them like different route signals and stuff. So like, but like, he studied the game, man. Like that was part of his whole persona. Like that's how he played. He was always trying to get a leg up on the competition. And like, dude, it showed in practice and he pissed a lot of people off, but it also showed in the games because he was able to figure out a lot of different things and made a lot of plays. And he was a heck of a player.
All right, I want to wrap things up today with a few questions. I put the word out on social media that we were looking for a few questions. We got a few really good ones. I'll start with basically the same question from both Sean Sweeney and Casey Durfee on Twitter. They're both asking about the number three pick and what we think right now happens with it. Do they make it? Do they trade it? And if they make it, who are they picking? I still say if he's on the board.
We have a third pick? Yeah. Like all we talked about.
If he's on the board, it's still Jaden Daniels. I think Daniels is the guy. Daniels may, I think they go quarterback. The only way they don't go quarterback and the only way they trade out of number three is if Minnesota comes to them with an absolutely Herschel Walker-esque godfather type of offer with like 10 picks and Justin Jefferson and So where do you stand on that?
Yeah, it's a quarterback. We're not. They're gonna have to offer the offer would have to be so like their firstborn sons in 20 years. So like if they're gonna be, you know what I'm saying? Like I just don't see a world where we're not trying to invest into the future of this team. And listen, the future of this team could be this crazy trade that brings in like the, you know, an unbelievable caliber of players, where it also puts us in a position where we still can take a quarterback, right? That might not be the top three, but maybe one of them falls to, you know, wherever it is in the draft. So sure. Could it happen? Yes. Do I really think that's going to happen? No, I think that you said it right. We had the entire Patriots organization down at the LSU pro day. Like they were there, they were watching. And I think to me, that is telling me that all signs are pointing towards this is one of the kids that we're going to potentially invest in a third round pick, you know, in this year's draft. And this is going to hopefully be the next face or, you know, part of this new organization and new team that Jerod is building.
Question via email from Doug in Canada. Who is the meanest guy you ever played against or with over the course of your career?
I mean, I've rarely ever been scared of people, but when James Harrison was on our team, I gotta tell you, bro, I didn't even want to cross this guy in the hallway. I mean, he was the angriest person I've ever been around. And to be honest with you, he was actually a nice guy if you actually sat down and talked to him, but his overall persona, like, in the weight room at like 4 o'clock in the morning and his oversized sweatpants and sweatshirt, just like, dude, this guy wants to kill somebody. But he was a pretty scary player to play against as well. Meanest, I mean, Tlaib, I never got a chance to play with Tlaib, you mm-hmm. know, when he was in New England, but when we played against him, I mean, this guy he'd verbally go after you. So he said things that I will not repeat on this podcast, but like as a competitor, like he compete part of his game, he was talking smack, right?
Can you give me a PG?
Yeah.
Version of what he
go
might
after
have said?
Your family, and like, you know, he'd be like, dude, like just like I'm gonna keep it at that. You okay. know, like he would go after, man. I mean, he was a competitor though, and that was part of his game, was he would try to get in guys' heads, and you know, you've saw it right over the course of his career. Like he riled people up, man. I mean, and that's how he played the game. And to me, I mean, that only like kind of it helps me, right? It helps me get into a rhythm. It's like I never got so angry that it would throw me off of my game, but you know, the whole element of like talking smack and like getting into it with guys, like that was a way for me just to like really like, all right, now this is a game, right? Like your true competitor comes out in those types of situations.
You said Ramsey talked a lot too.
Yeah, Ramsey talked a lot,
but it wasn't so it didn't get as personal as
wasn't as personal. He you know, he was. But like again, like dude, I mean, he's a hell of a competitor, man. And I loved going against Jalen, right? I loved the smack talking and all that kind of stuff, especially because early on in my career, too, it's like, dude, no one even knew who I was, right? It's like, who are you? Like just calling you by your jersey number. It's like, all right, bro, like that's fine, but like you're gonna have to deal with me for four quarters.
it feels like a little bit. The attitude from a player, it's like, look, they only boo you if you're really good.
Yeah,
like they're only going to talk shit to you if you're really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And that feels a little bit like
I said this before. I think to you, it's like a sign of respect, right? It's like they're going to go out of their way to start talking to you. It's like either they got nothing better to do, or it's like, hey, like I they're competing against me, and I took that as a respect, and you know, I would talk back and you know try a little harder.
All right, one more question from Sit Uber Sit on Twitter. Which sport was harder for you, football or lacrosse?
Football.
Why is that?
Football was harder. Lacrosse, I was always a very good athlete. I picked up lacrosse in my freshman year of high school, and it just came very natural to me. And I used my overall athleticism to play lacrosse. You know, in today's world, very different story, right? I do not fit in today's world of lacrosse because these kids, their skill sets are very different. They're so unbelievably skilled. But for football, I had to, you know, I really had to work at it when I got into the NFL, and I was very raw and actually like learning the game and learning how to play position and learning how to be a receiver and doing all these different things. There was so much more involved in going against the best players, you know, opposite side of you every single play. It was a task, you know, it was a tall task. And I mean, that was part of the reason why I enjoyed it so much was, I got to, you know, really challenge myself into, you know, how am I going to become the player that obviously I want to be? And it's like, how the hell am I going to beat these guys? Right. So like, there was always a challenge that I had within myself, and it was a very difficult sport, you know, for me to kind of pick up, you know, after not playing it for so long and then just transition into the NFL. And it's like, okay, cool. Now you're with the best players in the world. It's like, got to figure it out. So football is definitely tougher. I mean, it was physically, mentally, it was a tougher sport. But lacrosse, I mean, I'll never take anything away from that sport, man. I mean, it is a unbelievable sport to play and unbelievably hard. And the kids nowadays, I mean, the skills is just mind-blowing to me.
Chris Hogan, thank you very much for your time, my friend. Take care, and we will talk again very, very soon. We're running up. We got just over 2 weeks now before the draft. So we're going to do a couple more pre-draft shows, and then we're going to really, really, really have some fun breaking stuff down after the draft as well.
Can't wait.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. One more reminder. This episode of the Patriots Report has been brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season with MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.